KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. We're at 38 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And our weather forecast is calling for sunny skies today with a high near 60. In the news, Iowa economic development officials today are expected to approve tax benefits that will determine whether or not a longtime Council Bluffs business stays on the east side of the Missouri River. The Omaha World Herald reports in an application for incentives worth more than $4.5 million, Interstate Electric Supply Company indicated it would move 108 employees from its existing facilities near 35th Street and U.S. Highway 6 to Nebraska if it did not receive adequate financial incentives from the state of Iowa. With the incentives, IES plans to spend about $10.7 million to move its wholesale facility and other operations to a 13-acre parcel of land at the intersection of 24th Street and U.S. Highway 275-92 in Council Bluffs. Plans call for a 190,000-square-foot warehouse space addition, in addition to a training center and storage yard for equipment. IES says in its incentives application that it was strongly considering a site in Sarpy County, Nebraska, where property taxes on a comparable project would be half of what the company will spend in Iowa. The Council Bluffs City Council late last month gave unanimous approval to the company's application for benefits under the High Quality Jobs Program, which is administered by the Iowa Economic Development Authority. The organization's board meets in Des Moines at 10 a.m. today and is expected to approve the project. A proposed deal includes a partial property tax abatement worth more than $2.8 million over 15 years, in addition to state tax credits, including sales tax refunds on building materials and investment tax credits. The company expects to finish the project in the spring of 2016 and will create 8 new jobs. News time is 8:02.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A little over a week ago, Polk County officials awarded $125,000 to the Central and Western Iowa Honor Flight Organization to send a plane full of Korean War veterans to Washington, D.C. to see a memorial built in their honor. But there's not enough room on the plane for all of the veterans who want to go. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Jeff Ballinger of Council Bluffs, who's organizing the honor flight, says the initial plan called for giving 130 Korean War veterans a free trip to the nation's capital on September 30th.
The response has been tremendous. We actually have enough applications to fill 3 planes.
So he's hoping to do just that, but roughly $250,000 more is needed to cover the bill. Iowans can make a tax-deductible donation to make the honor flights possible.
They can go to centraliowahonorflight.org and shoot us an email, and we'll be happy to get back in touch with them.
I'm Pat Curtis.
And you can do that by getting in contact with the honor flight people by calling 712-322-6638. Or visiting centraliowahonorflight.org on the web. Officials at the American Public Works Association, or APWA, have presented the Harlan City Administrator with an award for being one of the 2014's top 10 public works leaders of the year. The presentation for Terry Cox was held on Tuesday at the Turkelson Activity Center in Harlan. During the presentation, several guest speakers stood in front of the audience of around 40, including Harlan Mayor Gene Geddes, Iowa APWA President Tracy Warner, and National APWA President-elect Larry Steffens. Steffens said in his speech that Terry Cox is one of a select group of people to win the award.
The top 10 award started in 1960. And as you alluded to, there are, over the years, that's about 55 years, so there's been about 550 recipients of this award. And that's over the last half century. That's not a lot of people. And in an association that's nearly 29,000 members and represents the entire public works profession, you're one of a very small number of individuals that have received this award.
The Top 10 Award recognizes those individuals who personify excellence in serving the public interest in the field of public works. Stephens called it the highest award a member of the APWA can receive. Cox was presented with a plaque with a medal inside. He took to the podium and thanked his staff at City Hall, past and current city council members and mayors and all city officials. Cox has been working with the city of Harlan for 37 years and will receive the same award in front of his peers in Toronto, Canada, later this fall. A care facility in Council Bluffs has the unique distinction of being home to nearly a half a dozen centenarians, those who are 100 or older. The Omaha World Herald says the Bethany Lutheran Home has five of them, all of whom are women. Current residents who are 100 years or older include Ethel Tornaton, who's 101, Genevieve Winger, who's 102, Helen Clem, who's 102, Leota Heinrich, who's 105, and Alice Steers, who's 106. Ladies all told the paper that hard work, clean living, being honest, and staying true to their friends are part of their longevity. One of the women worked until she was 92. Her employment included working in a doctor's office and waiting on tables for many years. Another taught at a country school in the Hazel Dell Township. One of the ladies said her hobby of antiquing is what kept her going for so long. None of them complained about their hardships and the fact technology was not as advanced then as it is today. The economy appears to be gaining strength in rural parts of 10 plains in western states. The overall economic index for the region improved to 55.6 in May from April's 53.2, suggesting growth in the months ahead. A survey of bankers in the region uses indices in ranging from 0 to 100, with 50 representing a growth neutral. A score above 50 suggests growth in that particular factor in the months ahead. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey. Goss says the results show that the economy is improving in the rural areas that depend heavily on agriculture and energy production. Elsewhere in the news, Republican Congressman Steve King is warning a bill ready for debate in the U.S. House of Representatives could be a major setback for efforts to track down terrorists.
I'm frustrated because I think this bill makes our country less safe.
The bill would forbid federal agencies from collecting metadata on phone calls.
The metadata, to give it the definition, is collecting phone bill data that is the origination of a call, the termination of a call, meaning its destination, the date and the time that it began, and, of course, the date and the time that the call was ended. That metadata has been useful for us in catching a number of terrorists that were communicating with terrorist organizations.
Under the legislation as proposed, phone companies would hold on to 18 months of that kind of data, and the federal agency would have to get a court order to access the records of a suspected terrorist.
Nobody is recording the phone calls of 300 million Americans. What the NSA was doing was collecting that metadata. So I think it's short-sighted. I think it's a political overreaction, and I'm for the civil liberties and the protection of the American people. But I think we can have that and have data that's available for warrant properly under the Constitution.
According to King, the U.S. can't be an isolist nation, and this bill would unnecessarily hamstring U.S. intelligence agencies.
I just ask Iowans, we need to pay attention to foreign policy. We need to pay attention to national security.
Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden's revelations about U.S. intelligence gathering techniques sparked outrage among libertarians who say the government's collection of phone call data violated personal privacy acts. Supporters like King say the program has helped to save American lives. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, fire officials in Knoxville, Tennessee say an explosion at a steel mill has left six workers injured. One is in critical condition with burns over 80% of his body. Investigators are trying to determine the cause of last night's blaze. Fire officials say the blast happened in a part of the plant where metal is melted down. Residents say they could hear the explosion blocks away. Authorities say a person whose badly burned body was found by firefighters in a transient camp in Carlsbad, California, may have been the first victim of wildfires that swept through the hot, dry, and windy San Diego County this week. Those nine blazes have driven thousands of people from their homes, shut down schools, and burned more than 15 square miles and caused more than $20 million in damage. General Motors has announced its sixth recall this week. Today it's recalling about 8,200 mid-sized cars to fix a problem with the front brakes. The recall affects 2014 Buick LaCrosse and Chevrolet Malibu cars. GM says rear brake rotors were mistakenly installed on the front. The rear rotors are thinner, so the brake pads will wear faster. Dealers were told to stop delivering the cars on May the 1st. It's the 24th GM recall announced this year. News time is 8:10.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Bertha Johnson, age 87, of Fontenelle, died May the 9th. Funeral services for Bertha Johnson will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Daryl Laverne Pedersen, age 98, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Daryl Pedersen will be held today at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marlene Shaben Klingenborg, age 76, of Council Bluffs, died Tuesday. A mass of Christian burial service for Marlene Klingenborg will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Larry Crandall Sr., age 78, of Panora, died Thursday. Memorial services for Larry Crandall Sr. will be today at 2 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Janet Polkinghorn, age 76, of Barney, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Janet Polkinghorn will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Rowland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Robert Gregg, age 73, of Linden, died December 19th. Graveside services for Robert Gregg will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the West Lynn Cemetery in rural Linden. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Helen Rechtenbaugh, age 88, of Des Moines and formerly of the Fontenelle area, died December 23rd. Graveside services for Helen Rechtenbaugh will be Monday at 1 o'clock in the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. And Ralph Dunan, age 84, who's formerly of the Audubon and Elkhorn areas, died May the 5th in Minnesota. Services for Ralph Dunan will be held on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, located at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. You can call them at 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.